Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 45. This is God's word. "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them, walking on the sea, and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, 'Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you look back earlier in this chapter, the Bible says that things were so busy with ministry that the people didn't even have time to eat. That is, the disciples did not. They were doing ministry, and they were so busy in doing ministry that they didn't have time to eat. And so, Jesus had told them, "We need to go away, get to a quiet place." And that was back in verse 30 and following. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So that's what was happening. And they go to get some rest, and how did that turn out? There was a crowd waiting for them when they got to the land. And so Jesus, again, continued to minister, to meet the needs of the people. And after he had done that for a while, the disciples are saying, "Okay, can we now send these folks away?" And Jesus says, "No, they need to be fed. You give them something to eat." Now, Jesus worked a miracle there that was absolutely astounding. But no matter how great the miracle, I guarantee you the disciples who were tired before the sermon started were very tired after they had finished distributing food to 5,000 men plus women and children and then going around and taking up a basket full of bread each. So it's been a long, long day. And now Jesus makes them get into the boat and commands them to go to the other side, to Bethsaida. The word that's used there in the Greek is basically that he compelled them. It's rightly translated, he made them get in the boat and go to the other side. This was not something he suggested. It was not something he permitted. It was something he demanded. He made them get in the boat and go to the other side. Middle of the night, they still haven't made it to the other side. The middle of the night, they are in the middle of the sea. and they are straining against the oars, and they can't see Jesus, but he can see them. Let me suggest to you, first of all, if you're making some notes, that even when you can't see Jesus, he can see you. He knows what's going on in your life. Now, these disciples, several of them were commercial fishermen. They had grown up working this lake. And I have no doubt that they, the wind being against them in the middle of the lake, they probably had some sense that it was not a good time to cross the lake when Jesus made them get in the boat and do it. They might have tried to suggest that we not do that. Let's don't try and go to Bethsaida right now. We'll just stay here with you, Jesus. Jesus says, no, you get in the boat and you go to the other side. So they are trying to do what Jesus commanded. And the wind is against them. And the waves are pounding the boat. This is not a happy situation. And let me tell you, if you walk with God a long time, you will have times like this. When you are trying to do what the Lord told you to do, and you just feel like you're not making any headway. The wind is against you, and your boat is being beaten up by the waves. And you ask yourself, what are we doing here? Why are we out here? Whose idea was this? Some of you who have walked with the Lord a while know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, I didn't plan this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to go to Bethsaida tonight. I said, let's stay over here. I said, we'll stay with you, Jesus. You want some time to pray? We're all for that. You pray, we'll sleep. You know, that's the way they worked it out in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus, we will not disturb you at all. You can have a time of quiet devotions. You can pray all night if you want. Just don't make us get in the boat and try and get to the other side because the wind is coming this way. I've been in a canoe when the wind was against me, and it was a comedy because the whole dining hall at my college could see the pond where I was trying to get across, and I was like a sail. I mean, the thing kept coming up like this and just blowing back. And I'd plop it down and go like this and be blown back. It was horrible. And I almost thought I was going to have to go to the far side and carry the canoe back around. But I didn't, because I'm stubborn that way. And I did pray, and I finally made it back to shore, and then had the joy of going into the dining hall where people had been treated to this comedy act out on the pond. This was no comedy. These guys were straining. They're really trying. They're working hard. And they've been at it all night after a really long day. It is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. that Jesus comes to meet them. They're exhausted. They're frustrated. They've had it up to here. And where's Jesus? Why did he tell us to do this? How's he going to get to Bethsaida? We're just supposed to hang out till he comes around, catches another boat. I mean, you know, I don't know. Jesus isn't a sailor, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. We're just doing what he told us. Doesn't make great sense to us, but we're trying to do what he said to do. And here comes Jesus, walking on the water. And Mark's the only one who tells us that Jesus walked as if he was going to pass by them. How's it going, fellas? He asked them that sometimes after they've been fishing all night and caught nothing. Have you not caught anything? Those are just not the kind of questions that fishermen like to be asked. Okay? How would he be able to tell, by the way, that they hadn't caught any fish? Because the boat is riding high in the water. If they had caught fish, the boat would be riding lower in the water. Okay? So Jesus could look from shore and see they didn't have any fish. This occasion, Jesus had seen them straining at the oars, and he didn't immediately come to them. He came later. And when they saw him, they said, oh, thank God, it's Jesus. Is that what happened? No. They cried out in fear. It's very embarrassing when men do that. Right? Women, you just sort of, you know, that's permitted because you are the fairer sex. But men are supposed to be brave and strong. If there is a sound downstairs in the house, it is the man who should get up and go see what's going on. If something goes wrong with the car, we may not know anything about mechanics, but it is our responsibility to get out, raise the hood, and look. Maybe tap something. These guys screamed, okay? They were terrified, it says. They were terrified, and they screamed. I'm so happy they tell this on themselves. See? The Bible is so honest about the fact that everybody needs a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and sometimes we do stupid stuff. And these guys, in the midst of the storm, encounter what can only be explained as a ghost. That's got to be what it is. They all saw it, it says. They saw him, and their conclusion was false. Sometimes we see something or hear something, and we jump to the wrong conclusion. And when that happens, it's embarrassing. But Jesus didn't play it up. He could have. I might have. When they're saying it's a ghost and they're screaming, I might have been tempted to go, ooh. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, Jesus immediately says to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. You know what Jesus says over and over? You know what runs from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over and over? Hundreds of times God says to his people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God doesn't put us in scary situations to scare us. He's teaching us not to be afraid. If you follow the Lord, he will put you in scary situations. He will. It's going to happen. He sends his disciples out and he says, okay, guys, for this journey, you're not to take along any money or even a change of clothes or any food. You just trust me. Do what I say. That's scary. I'm going on a journey with no provisions. Not even the usual stuff that any sensible person would take. I don't think that's smart, Jesus. We're supposed to cross the sea tonight when we're already tired and the wind is against us. I don't think that's a good plan. Over and over and over, God puts his people in scary situations. But he doesn't put us in scary situations to scare us. Instead, he's teaching us not to be afraid. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt by a path that was designed to look as if they were lost. That's what it says in the text. God said, I'm going to do this, and those who see will think they are just lost and wandering around. They looked like easy prey. And the army of the Egyptians pursued them. And God led them. He didn't just give them instructions. His presence went before them. And he led them right up to the shores of the Red Sea. And here comes the army behind them. So we can't go forward, we can't go back, we're hemmed in on either side. What are we going to do? God says, it's not what you're going to do, it's what I'm going to do. And God parts the sea. God wasn't teaching the people to fear. He was teaching them not to be afraid. And when God puts you in a situation that might seem to be a scary situation, you need to look to the Lord, who is infinitely greater than whatever you're afraid of.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Then he got into the boat with him, and the wind ceased. Mark's leaving out some stuff. I won't tell the whole story, but I will remind you that Mark is leaving out the part about Peter saying, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus. Because if Jesus tells you to walk on water, guess what you can do? Don't forget it. You can do anything God tells you to do through his power. Can't do it on your own. But when Jesus got in the boat with them, the storm was over. Sometimes there's a storm with Jesus in the boat. On this occasion, Jesus gets in the boat, the storm is over. And right after that, they found themselves on the other side. God doesn't have a hard time with our problems. When you bring your problem to the Lord and you say, you know, this is what's going on, and it's this, and it's this, and it's this, and I just don't know what to do. God doesn't say, wow, I don't know, I'll have to work on that. Give me some time. God knows the end from the beginning. And his power is not just great, it is limitless. His wisdom is not just great, it is limitless. He knows everything. He has all power, and he will never forsake his children. That's good to know. So, they were astounded, completely astounded. Look at verse 52. Because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. They were astounded, that makes sense, because they had not understood about the loaves. What does the loaves have to do with this? Well, you remember the miracle of the loaves and fish? How did that happen? There is only one explanation. The one who is breaking the bread is God. They still hadn't gotten that. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They were following him in hopes that he really was the Messiah. Earlier in this gospel, several of them had concluded, this is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting for. But they didn't understand that the Messiah wasn't just a great man, wasn't just a promised ruler. The Messiah is God in the flesh. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus wasn't just a really remarkable man who had a really close relationship with God. Jesus is a man. He's fully human. But he's not just a fully human man. He is also fully God. And that's why Jesus would make statements along the way like, before Abraham was, I am. Taking the very name of God and applying it to himself. Jesus is God. The disciples hadn't understood that yet. They had seen the one miracle, as we said before, that's recorded in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. And it was 5,000 men, plus women and children. He had done that, and they'd been a part of it, and they'd seen it, they'd experienced it, and their hearts were so hard they still didn't get it. They still didn't realize who they were dealing with. Many years ago, there was a famous theologian who lived in Switzerland. And there was a young American seminary student who just idolized this guy, thought he was the greatest theologian ever. And so the seminary student went to Switzerland hoping that maybe he might meet this great theological famous man. He made it to the city. He got on a boat to go across. And there was an old man on the boat with him. And he said to him, isn't it true that Karl Barth lives here? And the old man said, yes, that's true. And he said, have you ever seen him? And the man said, yes, I have. Have you, like, been up close to him? The old man said, actually, I gave him a shave this morning. And he said, you're Bart's barber? Who was the old man, children? Bart! But this guy, in the presence of the one he was looking for, mistakes him for the barber. Let me just tell you something. These guys were in the presence of God Almighty. He was in the boat with them. He's multiplied the loaves and the fish in a way that only God could do. And now he comes walking out to meet them on the Sea of Galilee. And they are still trying to figure out, who is this guy? Their hearts were hard. They didn't recognize God of glory. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's glory. He is God. And they didn't get it. They had not understood about the loaves. It just didn't register. Have you ever had a situation where after the fact you think, oh, how stupid of me? These disciples, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tell us these stories, telling on themselves. They tell us the truth about how slow they were to recognize the truth. And that's good. Because that means if God can use folks like this, God can use folks like this. Hallelujah. I am so grateful that we are saved by God's grace, not by our performance. And if you are seeking to be obedient to the Lord, doing what he's told you to do, and you find yourself in a very dark time, feeling exhausted and frustrated, it doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. God will meet you even when the wind is against you. And even when you can't see him, he sees you. And he cares. And he's going to take you to the other side. So don't be afraid. And don't give up. Trust and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41abide, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.